All right, so my book, it's a book that has, I try not to tell exactly how many pages are in the book because I want people to read the book. So it is kind of big, but the text is enormous. It's huge, so you can get through it very quickly, I assure you. I'm just trying to encourage you, because really what I want you to do is read my book. That's the main purpose of me being here tonight, is to convince you that my book has something worthwhile for you to learn about. As I mentioned, I could speak about many aspects of the book, but tonight, what I hope to give you is more information about why you should be proud to be a Catholic, give you some Catholic history. All right, so what is the book about? Effectively, it tries to fight irrationality. It tries to point the paths that lead to irrationality. How do I do that? I look at your reality mentality, the way people look at reality, and try to see if you have a certain reality mentality, where will that lead you in your conclusions? If you look at reality in a certain way, what will that lead you to think? What ideas will it lead you to hold? Effectively, I say there are three different types of possible reality mentalities: the empiricist, the idealist, and the realist. The empiricist is someone who thinks that only sense information is valid for knowledge. So the information that you receive through your eyes, through your ears, through your nose, that kind of information that comes in through the senses of your body, the knowledge that we share with the animals, only that is valid for knowing reality. And that is the default mindset today. It's the mindset of people who we call materialists. These are people who are often very science savvy, and they want to turn science into a body of total knowledge. Now, obviously, if you hold this view that only things that you can see, touch, hear, taste, and smell are real, then you will say that God does not exist, because you can't see God. God is immaterial by definition. Especially the new atheists of today, like Lawrence Krauss. One of the things I did was read a book of Lawrence Krauss where he tries to say that the universe came into being from nothing. Not from God creating from nothing, but just from nothing. But he says, you know, science has never been able to find God, because he expects us to be able to look like in a telescope and say, oh, there's God off there, and now I have sense evidence that God exists. But of course, God is inaccessible to the senses. The second reality mentality is that of the idealist. Those are people who take a certain idea that they find very clear and very beautiful for them, that they've not taken from reality. They've taken it perhaps from a sacred text that they've taken too literally, or perhaps they've got some philosophy they've cooked up in their own head. And then they just impose that on reality. Regardless of what reality tells them, they're going to take this idea and they're going to impose it on reality. That's the idealist. Then the happy medium, the balance, is the realist. The realist is willing to accept that both sense data and the ideas that we form from the sense data, both of them provide true knowledge about reality. And I argue in the book that this is in fact the reality, the default reality mentality of all human beings. We as human beings are constructed to know reality through both our body and through our mind, both of them. And what we're doing right now in this conference, when I'm giving you this conference, we are using both our senses and our mind in order to have human communication. And every human communication, what happens is I take an idea that's in my head, and then I express that idea in vocal sounds. And those vocal sounds go from my mouth and they go to your ears. You take them into your ears, and because you know the English language, you convert them to an immaterial concept. They are signs of immaterial concepts. And that's how communication takes place. And in that communication, we rely both on the ability of our concepts to relate to reality, and we accept the validity of the sounds that we're hearing. So this is just the way that we work as human beings. If you reject that realist perspective, I claim you fall into irrationality. Well, we have to live life like this. You can't escape. That's the way we're constructed as human beings. That's the way God made us. Now, the technical word for these reality mentalities is called epistemology. That's from the Greek words meaning theory of knowledge. These reality mentalities represents the way you think human beings know. All right. Because this is a bit abstract, right? This is an abstract topic. And when you write a book, the last thing you want to do is have people read your book and they don't know what you're talking about, right? So I had this task, this challenge presented to me. I wanted to communicate this message, and yet it was quite abstract. So how am I going to do that? One of the things I came up with was to use a meter, all right, which I called the epistodometer. So this epistodometer, what I try to do is, throughout the book, track people and their reality mentality. And if in this meter, if the peg is straight up, that means you're a realist. And it's light there because reality is very penetrable if you're a realist. You can penetrate reality to the greatest if you're a realist. Whereas if you fall on the left side, you think that only soul knowledge counts or mind knowledge counts. You turn humans into angels. Reality becomes very dark because you're imposing your own ideas on reality. You're not letting reality teach you. Same on the other side. If you're an empiricist, you're turning humans into animals. The reality will be very dark for you. So throughout the book and throughout this conference, I'm going to be rating people and rating individuals and cultures for their reality mentality. So the thesis of my book is that the more your reality mentality deviates from that vertical position, the more obscure reality becomes. Whereas the more your reality mentality approaches that perfect vertical position, the more you're able to learn from reality. And remember, this is God's reality. God is in charge of reality. So this is very important that we have this disposition of being able to learn from reality rather than impose on reality. This is also obviously very important in even just in human relationships. You don't want to have the wrong idea of somebody and have them conform to that idea. You want to judge them as they are. I mean, this is what a priest has to do in confessional. It's to judge people as they are, not what he's making up about them. Okay, so what about your worldview? You know, what's your reality mentality? Where do our reality mentalities come from as human beings? That's something we might ask ourselves. Where did I get my reality mentality? Because we all have a reality mentality in this room and in the whole world. All human beings have a worldview. That worldview is basically your philosophy of life. It's the way you look at reality. And because we're Catholics, I would say the Catholic faith is really what drives our reality mentality. That's hopefully for us, it's the single point which we all go back to when we want to resolve the ultimate questions in our life. We fall back on the Catholic faith. So the Catholic faith derives our perspective on reality. For most people, the reality mentality they have comes from the spirit of their age. It comes from the culture around them. Today we have a very materialistic culture. And so a lot of people out there, they think their reality mentality is, hey, just live and let live. Just do what you do. I've got my life, you've got your life. You know, just let it all hang out. Well, you know, you do what feels best to you. You make your own truth. That sort of mentality. That's the materialist mentality, that there are no rules. You get to make rules about what you want to do. But I try to widen this question and look in the past and say, what has often driven the reality mentality of peoples in the past? And usually it's been religion, whereas today it's more science. Atheistic science tends to drive things today, whereas for the majority of the history of mankind, it's been religion. And what I find is that when religion is in the driver's seat for a people, it's often pushed people towards idealism. It's often given them ideas about reality that are false through mythology or a sacred text that's interpreted too literally. that has often made people have an idea that they impose on reality. And then I claim that Catholicism has actually pushed people towards realism, because I try to claim it's almost like a historical fact that Catholicism and realism fit hand in glove. And this is what you would expect of a true religion, because the same God who is behind nature is also to be the one behind true religion, right? It has to be the same God. So if you have a religion that pushes people towards a realist view of reality, then that might be an argument to say that that's a true religion. Then today's atheist science, as I said, pushes people towards empiricism, and that's the dominant worldview of our godless age. Here's the plan of the book. The first three chapters of the book, I just try to explain what realism is and how a realist would look at reality and what sort of conclusions he would draw. A realist is going to be able to prove the existence of a God who is very similar to the Christian God. And a realist will be able to situate science and religion and philosophy in their proper hierarchy in the realm of knowledge. In the second section, I consider those cultures that I've just talked about where religion has dominated and driven the worldview. Chapter 4, I consider paganism and the confusion it made people have about reality. I also consider the Greek pagans, who have been called the chosen people of reason because they managed to do philosophy extremely well and eventually produce the first professional realist, Aristotle. But then Catholicism came along, I claim in chapter 5, and perfected Aristotle's realism because of revealed truths. So, in other words, certain revealed truths that we believe as Catholics help Catholic philosophers know reality better and perfect Aristotle's philosophy in a way that Aristotle was not able to do because he didn't have that assistance of revealed truth. Then Islam and Protestantism, they are solely text-based religion, and it leads their followers to be idealists and hold doctrines and beliefs that are contrary to reason. The last section is about science, modern science, and I show how modern science, insofar as it reduces all knowledge to sense knowledge, it leads to irrationality. That's where you get people like Lawrence Krauss who say they set a rule for themselves. I'm only going to be able to explain everything on the basis of sense data. Yeah. So you got like the Big Bang. Where did that come from? You know, it just emerged from a quantum vacuum. You're like, okay.
A Jesuit priest, I kind of like Big Bang Theory.
I don't think he was Jesuit. You're talking about Georges Lemaître.
Yes.
So Georges Lemaître, I support the Big Bang Theory in the book, okay? But I explain how the Big Bang Theory should lead you to hold the existence of God, right? Because where does the Big Bang come from? But what someone like Lawrence Krauss would do would say, well, it just emerges spontaneously. The energy just emerges spontaneously, which is ridiculous. I mean, let's just face it, that's just absurd. That's absurd to say that it just pops into existence. Then I look at Origin of Life Studies. There are attempts to explain life coming from non-life by purely material causes, or from aliens or whoever, you know. They come out kinds of ridiculous explanations. Then finally, evolutionary studies, more complex forms of life coming from less complex forms. Again, there's not much